We'll turn to that passage we read earlier, please, to Isaiah chapter number 42. And let us, with God's word open before us, unite just in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come now to consider thy precious word, still every heart before thee, Lord. Take away every distracting thought and care, we ask of thee. Focus our hearts and our minds upon thy word and upon what God the Lord will say. Use thy word today to the strengthening, the building up of every believer. Use it, Lord, to the salvation of sinners in this gathering. Use it, O God, to the glorifying of Christ and all that will be said and done. To this end, Lord, empty me of self and of sin. Fill me, Lord, afresh with God the Holy Ghost. Pour out thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And have thy way in every heart and life, we ask. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now the text of Scripture I want us just to look at today are the opening words of verse number 3 of Isaiah chapter 42. Where it says there, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. Now Isaiah the prophet lived some 600 to 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is known to us very much so as the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament, because he has much to say to us about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Isaiah chapter number 42, through his servant Isaiah, God himself gives us a wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you look at verse number 1 there, you see how it begins with the word, behold. And just stop there as you read that word, behold. That's a word that really commands our attention in the English language. And by this word, God here is calling upon the reader of this chapter before us to give careful heed, to give careful attention to all that he goes on to tell us about his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there at verse 1 and in its entirety. It says, behold my servant. And here God is speaking of Christ. He says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And there you see how Christ was none other than the servant, the perfect servant of God the Father. Christ there also, you see, was one who in his earthly life and ministry was upheld by God the Father despite the ferocious onslaughts of hell against him. You see also there that he was one who was chosen, or if you like, appointed by God the Father to be the Savior of sinners. We're told also there how God the Father is one who delighted in Christ. Indeed, Christ was the darling of his bosom, the altogether lovely one, says God of Christ in his word. For he was without sin, without spot, and without blemish. And you see also there that he was the one who was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was given without measure unto Christ. And my, the whole purpose of this was that he would make a way of salvation for Gentile and Jewish sinners alike. What a person Christ is. Any wonder God says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Again, if you look further there at verse number 2, you'll see there God the Father tells us something more about Christ. He says, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. And that really shows us how Christ's great work of extending his kingdom and building his church, it's a work that goes on without the pomp or show or ceremony or applause or hooray of mankind. It goes on slowly, steadily, and quietly in the hearts and the kingdoms of men. And then also there in verse number 4, you see something else about Christ that says, He shall not fail. Always remember this, dear people, as you think of Christ. He shall not fail. Christ has never failed in anything. He never will fail in anything, nor can he ever fail in anything. He shall not fail, it says there. It says, nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. And that verse there tells us how in this earth Christ was steadfast in his great work of redemption for sinners. You read of Christ, and Christ knew all that lay before him as he would go to the cross of Calvary and the awful suffering and shame and ignominy and sorrow. And it says this, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. My, whatever Christ puts his hand to, he shall not fail. He will not fail. He cannot fail. And then in verse number 3, the words of our text this morning, it says further about Christ, it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And these words really speak of the Lord's tenderness, the Lord's tender dealings, the Lord's tender mercies with his own people. The hymn writer speaks of Christ and describes him as gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And my, those words are a most fitting description of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. And my, the Lord's tender mercies were a great encouragement to the Lord's people in the day of the prophet Isaiah. And they are still a great encouragement to God's people today in the church of Christ, wherever it is to be found. And for that particular reason, I want us just to look at these opening words of verse number 3, which highlight to you and I the tender mercies of the Lord toward his people. This is what I want us to think about today. As you have come into this meeting, maybe there's many thoughts and cares upon your heart, thoughts and cares of yesterday, thoughts and cares of tomorrow. And oh, I would encourage you to set them aside for a season. And as we gather today around the Word of God, the inerrant, the infallible Word of God, see what God has for you here in this verse about the tender mercies of the Lord for his people. I want you to notice, first of all, here the objects of the Lord's tender mercies. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. In this verse you see there how the Lord's tender mercies are exercised toward those who are likened, it says here in the verse, unto a bruised reed and a smoking flax. What is a bruised reed? The bruised reed here is a symbol of great weakness. It depicts the Christian who has become weak in their faith. It speaks of the believer who is crushed by the trials and the burdens of life. It speaks of the believer who is burdened down and entangled with the snares and indeed the very pull of this world. Mention is made there also of the smoking flax. That's a smoking wick that is almost extinguished. In other words, the flame has almost gone out. It is black and smoldering, and just with a few sparks left in it. And again, there's a spiritual thought there. It speaks of the believer whose love for Christ, whose zeal for Christ, whose devotion for Christ is at a very low ebb in their life. This is how it was with the psalmist David on one occasion in his life that we read about in the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1, he utters these words. He says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And at that juncture in his life, his faith had become weak. My, he was overcome with despair, with fear, with doubt. He had lost sight of the great promise of God to him, that God had said, David, one day you're going to reign upon the throne in Judah. He had lost sight of that promise that one day he'd be king. Overcome with fear and doubt and unbelief, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Maybe I'm speaking to some believer in our meeting today, And my, your spiritual condition at this very present time in your life, it's like that of a bruised reed in our text. It's like that of the smoking flax in our text. My, through adverse circumstances in life, through the pull of the world in your life, your faith has become weak. Your love for Christ, your zeal for Christ has become dim. Your heart has grown cold and indifferent to the things of God. Once there was a fire for God burning in your soul. That fire has now become dim. My, your heart is beset today with the fears and doubts and cares from this world. Indeed, you feel yourself to be like the hymn writer who said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Dear believer in our meeting, if this is your spiritual condition today, I say to you, take encouragement from our verse. Take encouragement from these words here in Isaiah 42, verse number 3. For it says here of Christ, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." The message here is that the Lord is full of kindness toward you. The Lord is full of love toward you. The message here is that the Lord has tender mercies for you, even as a bruised reed, even as a smoking flax, as is described in our text today. Turn with me, please, over to Lamentations chapter number 3. Just over a little bit from our Bible reading, come to Isaiah or Jeremiah after Isaiah, then you'll come to Lamentations chapter number 3. And I want you to see here what Jeremiah says as he thinks of the Lord. A time of great trial, great fear, great doubt for Jeremiah. Time of great testing. And look at what he says. He's focused here rightly upon the tender mercies of the Lord toward him. In Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse number 22 and the verse number 23, he says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." The time of darkness and testing and trial and fear and doubt. As Jeremiah considers the Lord's tender mercies toward him, the compassions of God that fail not, that are new every morning, the faithfulness of God, he is forced to testify, "The Lord is my portion, the Lord is my hope." Dear child of God, today, maybe feeling beaten by the world and broken by the trials and the difficulties of life, see this today. That in that condition of a bruised reed and a smoking flax before the Lord is one who has tender mercies for you. Yes, we see here the object of the Lord's tender mercies. Notice secondly here the manner in which the Lord displays his tender mercies from our text. It says there in Isaiah chapter number 42 in the verse number 3, it says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." The thought here is that the Lord will not cast off his child. No matter how weak their faith has become, no matter how cold their love and zeal for Christ has become, the Lord will not cast off his child. Am I speaking to one in the gathering today, and your faith, yes, has waned? Your love for Christ is not as it once was. Perhaps maybe even as you sit in this meeting today, you think that maybe the Lord has forgotten about you. Maybe you thought that, even in the week that has gone by in your need, the Lord has forgotten about you. Maybe you feel that the Lord has forsaken you. Maybe you feel the Lord is not concerned about you, or the Lord does not care for you. Maybe that thought has been sown in your heart and mind, and that's something you thought about even in the week that has gone by. Dear child of God, let me say to you this morning that nothing could be further from the truth. I tell you this upon the authority of the Word of God. The Lord has not forgotten you. The Lord has not forsaken you. The Lord is concerned about you. The Lord, he cares for you. Yes, man may have his cast-offs, but I tell you this, God is no cast-offs and concerned with his own redeemed people, none whatsoever. The psalmist says the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Turn with me just over a few pages to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter number 49. And just go over to verses 14 and 15 and 16 there of Isaiah chapter 49. Look at the charge that God's ancient people made against the Lord in verse 14 of Isaiah 49. It says, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Notice the charge that ancient Zion makes God's ancient people. The Lord has forsaken them, they think, because of their circumstances. The Lord has forgotten them. They make that charge, and it was a wrong charge against the Lord. Notice how the Lord answers their misconception in the very next two verses, verses 15 and 16 of Isaiah 49. He asks, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." Verse 16, "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." There the Lord was reassuring his ancient people that he had not forgotten them nor forsaken them. He cared for them. He was concerned for them. Everything that related to them, he says, "Thy walls are continually before me." He had not cast them off. What does it say, dear believer, about the Lord and his people in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7? He careth for you. Believer, keep that truth before you. No matter what your state is today, no matter what circumstance of life you find yourself in or may find yourself going into even in the week that lies before you, he careth for you. And really, humanly speaking, we cannot understand fully. It's beyond our deepest comprehension how the Lord cares for his people. Turn over again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 10. Look with me, please, at verse 29 and 30 and 31. And again, here the Lord is dealing with his disciples and their fears and their doubts and their cares and their concerns. And he's wanting to reassure them of his concern for them. And he says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father," in other words, without your Father knowing about it. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Believer, the Lord says, fear not in your care, in your anxiety, in your concern, even in the midst of your doubts. He says, "Fear not, ye are of more value than the little sparrow, than many sparrows." Here the Lord was seeking to reassure his disciples that he cared for them. They knew all about their needs, and it's the same with you and I also, believer. We were singing that great hymn earlier on there. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart, the hymn writer says, is touched with my grief. He is the sympathizing Savior. Believer, think again of what is said here about the Christ in our text this day. It says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench." With these words, the Lord wants you to see and understand, believer, that the Lord cares for you as an individual. He has not forgotten you as an individual believer of his. He has not forsaken you as his child. No. Maybe it's the case, dear believer, in the meeting this morning that you have forgotten the Lord. Maybe it's the case that you have forsaken the Lord. Then the Lord here reminds you of his love and of his care for you for a particular purpose, so that you might come back to him, that you might turn away from your waywardness and backslidings, that you might seek his restoring grace in your life. Perhaps the question is on your mind today, how can I come back to the Lord who loves me so much? the Lord who cares for me so much. Perhaps you're asking the question today, how can I know the Lord's restoring touch afresh in my heart and my soul? That's the question in your heart today. I tell you this, you come back to the Lord just as you did when you're saved. Come to Him afresh, confessing your sins. Come to Him afresh, trusting in the merits of His blood to wash you and to cleanse you afresh from your sins and waywardness before the Lord. And the Lord says, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Dear believer, over in the book of Hosea, chapter number 14 and verse number 2, God gives you their specific instruction how you are to come back to the Lord. This is what He says. He says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. That's how you come back to the Lord. Take with you words. Turn unto the Lord afresh. Say to the Lord, take away all iniquity. And Lord, receive me graciously. And you know the Lord will honor His word, because the Lord is always true to His word and true to His promise. The objects of the Lord's tender mercies, the manner in which the Lord displays His tender mercies. Notice in the third place today, notice the implication of the Lord's tender mercies in the lives of His people. In Isaiah chapter 42, in the verse number 3, there it says, a bruised reed shall He not break, and the smoking flax shall He not quench. You know, whenever we think of the Lord's tender mercies here, we see an example for every believer, every child of God to follow in their dealings with others in this life. Believer, in saving you and I and restoring you and I when we've fallen, we've gone astray, what has the Lord done with us? He has shown us great pity. He has shown us His tender mercies. And in like fashion, you and I are to show pity and compassion and indeed mercy to others. The Bible shows us how we are to show pity and compassion to others who are lost in sin, to others who are perishing in their sin. You think of what is said in the little book of Jude. It says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. It speaks of us as believers showing compassion, pity toward those that are perishing in their sin. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes his letter to the Romans. He says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul had a great love for others, even his own kinsmen in the flesh, to see them saved and won to Christ. Believer, how are you and I, how are we to treat the ungodly? We're to treat them as the Good Samaritan treated the man in the parable who had fallen among the thieves. Turn with me over, please, to Luke's Gospel in the chapter number 10, and you'll see this for yourself. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, and the verse number 33. The man had set out on his journey. Others had passed by him, and the thieves had set upon him and left him for dead. But it says of this good Samaritan, verse 33 of Luke chapter 10, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And what does Christ say to us at the very end of that account in verse number 37? It says, Jesus then said unto him, go and do thou likewise. My, that is how we are to show Christ's love towards the ungodly, towards the unsaved. We're not to be like the Pharisees who pass by on the other side. No. As we look about upon the multitudes who are unsaved around us, we are to love them for Christ, dear people of God. You and I are to pray for them and pray for their salvation. And we are to do all we can under God to see them saved, brought into the family and fold of God. Believer, as you look upon the unsaved, no matter who that person is, no matter what that person is, no matter what they have done, you remember this.
But for the grace of God, there go you and there go I. But for the grace of God. Also, as believers in our dealings, not only with the unsaved, but in our dealings with other believers as well. Other believers as well who've made wrong choices in their life, who've maybe gone astray into a wrong path, into bypath meadow. We are to show them the love of Christ. We are to show them something of Christ's pity and mercy and care so that they might be restored back to the Lord and fellowship with the Lord. You remember what Paul said to God's people in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." It has been said that brotherly love is the badge of Christianity. Christ himself says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Turn with me, please, in your Bible over to Galatians chapter number 6. Look at what Paul says to us there about this matter. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and verse number 2. He says here to the Lord's people, dealing with those maybe that have gone astray, made wrong choices and decisions in life. He says in Galatians 6, verse 1, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." How we are to do all we can by showing grace, pity, tender mercies, even to those believers that have gone astray, made wrong choices and decisions of life, or to show kindness toward them, tender mercies of the Lord toward them, the Lord's love and compassion toward them, so they too might be restored again to fellowship with the Lord, with His people. Whenever you go home this morning, you read 1 John chapter 2. And John there is dealing with the evidences, the proof of those that are saved and belong to the Lord. We haven't time to look at it this morning, but one of the evidences is a desire to obey the word of the Lord and live out the word of the Lord. But another proof that he cites and makes much of in that passage is the love of God's people for their fellow believers in the Lord. And that's the example we're showing in our text this morning, the example that we are to follow. Someone has once said that the Christian army is the only army that buries its wounded. Dear child of God, may that not be our testimony. May that not be our testimony as individuals. May that not be our testimony as a church and as a congregation. And friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you're here today and you're still unsaved in our gathering, there's a message here for you as well in our text. It says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench." And here you see the great truth that Christ is the tender, the compassionate Savior. The Bible speaks of Christ and says he's the friend of publicans and sinners. And in Bible times, a publican was a tax collector. They were hated and despised by society. But Christ, we're told, is the friend of publicans and sinners. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, "This man," it says of Christ, "receiveth sinners." You read through the Bible and you read account after account of the Lord saving sinners. He saved Rahab the harlot in the Old Testament. He saved the dying thief crucified beside the Lord. He saved Saul of Tarsus, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church of Christ. Friend, in our meeting this morning, he will save you too, no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been. If you will willingly repent of your sin, turn from your sin and turn to Christ by faith, and trust in his precious blood shed at Calvary's cross to wash away your sin. David says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him." He was just a poor and needy sinner. Friend, today, unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl, follow the example of the psalmist. Call upon the Lord to save you. Praise God, He will put away your sins. He will save your eternal, never-dying soul forever and ever. He'll bring you into His family. And one day He'll welcome you into heaven, into glory. It's of nothing more important, I tell you, than for you to be saved right with God through faith in the redeeming blood of the cross. We're going to close our service this morning. We're singing together the hymn number 212. 212 in your hymn book. There is no love like the love of Jesus. Never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God He have gathered us all. We're just going to sing the first and the last verse. Verses 1 and 4 along with the chorus, 202, standing as we would sing. Stand as we sing. Our Father and our God, bless Thy word, bless Thy truth to every heart. As I would see our particular need today, use Thy word to the strengthening, the building up of the saints of God. Use it, Lord, to the salvation of the sinner lost and undone. And Lord, we pray that all that has been said and done will bring glory and honor unto Thy name. Part us with Thy fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen.